Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we are getting towards the end of talking about tithing, giving, and the scriptures, and why it's important for us today. And last week we were talking about one of the more crucial reasons why it's such an issue, and that's that believers are not learning how to hear the Lord for themselves. One of the big downfalls of following the teaching of tithing is we've talked so much about how important finances are to God because they're important to us. And it takes up a lot of our time thinking about. We work for money. We do a lot of things in our lives regarding our finances. And also finances are one of the main areas God gets our attention in, our finances, our health, and our relationships. And to put part of our finances on autopilot is not a good idea. It takes that area out of the realm where God can use it to talk to us. And our goal is always to be able to hear him more and more clearly, to know how to test what we're hearing, and then how to act on it. So by following the teaching of tithing, following what somebody else tells you to do with your money, you are basically saying, God, this is an area I don't need your input. I already know what to do here. And even if you think it's what God wants you to do, anything, again, that's on autopilot, anything that you aren't asking God about, you are saying, you are putting yourself above him. You are basically kicking him off his throne in that area, saying, it's all right, I already know what to do here. Whether it's because somebody else has told you, because you think you've read it in the scriptures or whatever, the bottom line is, did you ask God about it? Did you ask God about where you're putting your money, where you're giving, where you're supporting? Always the bottom line. Did you ask God? Did you talk to him about it? Now, we've talked many times about sometimes God says, this is not a big important issue for you right now. So you may go to him and he may say, yes, go ahead and continue tithing. That's fine, because you've done what was necessary. You've got his input. Because there may be much more important issues between you and him that he wants to deal with you about. That's fine. Because you went to him, you heard what he said, hopefully you tested it, and then you're putting it into action. Then, Lord, what else are we spending our time on? Is there other areas of finances, of relationship, of health? Is there areas you want to talk to me about? And then, again, learning how to test him. Lord, is that you? Now, God's ways are very often much simpler than we have expected them to be. We think we need to study and be in the right group and be anointed and have special gifts, when it's really, it comes down to having an ear that hears. And we develop that ear by spending time with him. So the more time you spend with him, cultivating a quiet lifestyle, allowing him to develop your senses, the less you'll actually need a recognizable response. You will develop a knowing between your spirit and your soul. This is something you'll have to experience before you can accept it. But very often, how do you know you're a Christian? You just know. Sometimes it's, well, I said the right prayer, or God revealed himself to me. But very often it's just, well, I just know. Well, how do you know he said this about that? Well, I just know. And this is also why we develop the ability to test what we're hearing. Lord, is that you? You're going to get a yes, a no, or a nothing. And even then, very often, you have to go, okay, generally speaking, if it's a nothing, there's interference. Sometimes when you hear a no, you'll need to track that down and find the source. If it's not from the Lord, where is it from? And sometimes when you hear a yes, you'll hear a yes, but it won't sound like him. When your phone rings and you pick it up, and it's a friend of yours that you always talk to on the phone, or a relative, how much do they have to say before you recognize their voice? They don't say, hey, this is mom, or this is your friend. It's, hey, what's going on over there? What are you up to? We can tell by their voice. Now, that only comes by spending a lot of time on the phone, spending a lot of time listening, hearing their voice. And so it comes down to being very practical in, if these areas are important to you, your finances, your health, and your relationships, how much time are you spending with God? He values that time with you so much that he will, when you give him time, he amplifies it. Now, there's always this, sometimes an opportune time for guilt, that some people are much more busy than others. And there's this idea that you can't wait on God. You can't spend time with him because your family will suffer. Your work will suffer. You just don't have time. Well, we all have 24 hours a day. And as long as you have communed with God and asked, God, these days I really only have 10 minutes a day that I can spend with you. Is that all right? Where shall I spend those 10 minutes? I can only spend 10 minutes between, if I get to work early, I can spend 10 minutes sitting in the car before I get out of work and go into the building. Or when I first get up, or when I first, you know, at lunchtime. And we take seriously looking for that time and work with him. God, this seems to be the only time. He may come back and say, actually, you have a lot more time. Sit down and start recording where you're spending your time. And he may go, you know, he may show you areas where you are spending too much time reading email or on the phone or, of course, watching TV, playing video games, you know, you name it. But this is all part of being in a relationship with a living God, is you talk to him about these things. It's not with guilt. It's not with fear. It's not with, okay, if I don't do it, I'm going to pay consequences for it. There's going to be a result of that, is you aren't going to hear him as clearly as you yourself would like to. And we're all on a continuum. If you are in a situation where you're raising kids, or there's just so much going on in your life, you don't have that much time. And you can only give God 15 minutes a day. Well, God can expand that 15 minutes to be the equivalent of 15 hours. It's, have you asked him? Are you on his schedule? Are you responding to him? So this is one of the main reasons taking the financial relationship between us and the church and what God wants to do with our money by saying, okay, if I write a check to the church for 10%, I'm good. Then I don't have to ask him. Then the rest is my responsibility. No, it's not. And so the more we put everything on the table, every aspect of our life on the table to talk to God about, the more he is free to heal us, reveal himself, bring us into oneness, spirit, soul, and body. So within the church, this causes a problem within organized religions. Because if you're listening to God, if you are able to hear him, it calls into question some of the purpose of those in organized positions of authority, like pastors and the board of elders and the whole idea of having church the way we've got it now. Because if God himself is teaching you and training you and preparing you for what you have, what you need tomorrow, maybe that's going to call into question some of the structure that supports Christianity today. That's one of the reasons so many people have left the church, is because they realize they don't need the church to know God. No, we're not going to go off into talking about that. We may at some point in time. But the whole idea of asking the Lord about giving versus tithing is probably not going to be welcome in a lot of mainline denominational fellowships. And that's something you're just going to have to deal with. It's not that we need to change them and convince them. If someone's interested, great. But your project is to have a conversation with God about it. Now, what is a problem in the church is not necessarily about tithing, but in general, that believers are not being taught how to give or how to hear from the Lord for themselves. They're being taught to give. You know, of course, after you've tithed, then there's offerings, then there's missions, and then there's a building fund, and then there's all these other things that's above and beyond the tithe. So you're taught to give, but not how to. In other words, not how to ask. And for that reason, there's a real stronghold of poverty in the church because of that mix of grace and law. That you are free to give as long as you have already fulfilled the law of tithing. But as Christians, we study to show ourselves approved, not to get ourselves approved. We give because we have received, not in order to receive. Now, this stronghold of poverty, poverty is not just financial, but there's a poverty of the power of God. Now, we've got a lot going on now throughout the world with other religions expressing violence in support of their own faith. And really, Christianity has had little, as far as we've seen on a widespread basis, to contend with that. We just don't have a way of proving God. Now, he doesn't need anybody to defend himself. And he's got everything under control, so it's not about that. But when we look back, historically speaking, at previous generations of believers, how do you know something is real? How do you know something has power unless that power is expressed? And so because Christians are not being taught to hear from God, Christians are not being trained to by God. We are taught to pray to God. When God has said, "You are my sons. I've given you the sword." We don't even want the sword. We don't even know what to do with it. We don't think we should do anything with it. We're just going to wait around until we get caught up. When God has said, "No, you have authority, and you are my sons, and you are my representatives." Now, this is not to go out and do what we want. But the proof of, look at what Jesus did to prove that he could forgive sins. Is he healed? He did miracles to prove he was the Son of God. He didn't just preach that he was the Son of God. He didn't just say, "See, I fulfilled these scriptures. I must be the Son of God." No, he had the power that proved he was the Son of God. Now, if you are joint heirs with him and co-inheritors with him, if you've been born of him, you have that same power in your spirit. But if you're not even being taught how to hear him, how to have a living, vital relationship with God, all that potential stays in your spirit. Now, it's not that we're seeking power and authority. It's that we have already received it. What we are seeking is instruction. It's like you've inherited a world-class racing car. You don't leave it in the garage, you learn how to drive it. You've inherited a kingdom. You don't just say, "Oh, that's real cool," and sit around admiring it. You need to learn how to rule with the authority and power that you've inherited. And this takes time. But God is your instructor. He will show you on a moment-by-moment basis what training you need. He will have you ready for your tomorrow. You don't need to know in your soul what's going to happen tomorrow. You already know in your spirit, and you can trust God that he will have you ready for tomorrow. Because we may even think we know what our tomorrow is, but what does it come back to? "Lord, is there anything I need to be working on to be ready for my tomorrow?" And your tomorrow might be totally different than what you thought, and it might be totally different than what it is for everybody else around you. God is a personal God, and he wants to be known personally. So another problem, another consequence of not being taught, about being taught to tithe rather than giving, is that there is a social infrastructure that is based on money. And this is just to clear, you know, if we don't tithe, how do things get taken care of? Well, in the Old Testament times, the tithes and offerings were paid for governmental services like roads and self-defense and police and disaster and relief and the festivals and every need of society. But today, we pay taxes for those necessities. So the need for tithing is not the same as it was in the Old Testament. The Old Testament tithing went for the things that today we pay taxes for. And finally, not giving God's way is contrary to our new nature. So there are around four reasons the decision to tithe or not is a big issue. First, a lot of time, effort, and manipulation is unfortunately being used to get God's people to donate money, regardless of the need. In fact, very often, you're not allowed to ask, what are you going to do with this? Can I see your books? You're just supposed to do, God told me you're going to give me money, you better give me money. And yes, that does happen. Second, financially supporting something God isn't blessing can actually delay God's discipline in another's life, work, or ministry. Let me repeat that. By not asking God about whether to give something and financially supporting something, a ministry, a church, a people, you may actually be preventing God from doing what he wants to do in someone else's life, their work, or their ministry. God may be saying, I'm trying to get them to go in another direction by drying up the brook, and you're there with a pump, pumping water into the brook. So again, what's important is, are we going to him to hear what he has to say? Third, not asking God what to do regarding our finances and tithing is ignoring his sovereignty in our lives. By not even asking him, we are rejecting him as our God. Think about that for a minute. Our allegiance is not to the church, to one another. It's not to ourselves. It's to God first. Who do we turn to first? Lord. What's going on here? Lord, is that you? Lord, what do you have to say about this? Lord, what do I need to know here? And by not having the whole tithing thing available to talk to God about, we are missing out in this area of learning to go to him and talk to him. Fourth, deciding on our own who to give to or who to tithe to is disobedience to the truth. It's rejecting the Spirit sovereignty in our lives. And it's actually encouraging to our flesh, our soul life. When we decide on our own, we build up our soul life instead of bringing our soul into subjection to our spirit. So when we talk about tithing, giving in the scriptures, at least start asking, Lord, what do you want me to do in this situation? Now, we don't want to get caught up either in making this, again, a too big of an issue. If you don't seem to get an answer, what you want to look at is developing a plan to develop your hearing. Rather than worrying about who to tithe to, the bigger issue becomes, are you able to hear him for yourself? In that case, do what you think is best and go on to something else. If you feel like continuing tithing, fine. If you don't, stop. But then recognize what the big issue then is. You need to be able to hear the Lord and have confidence that you're hearing him. Because he doesn't want the whole tithing thing or giving to become a distraction. But that brings us to talking about some practical applications. Let's assume that we now all agree that tithing is scriptural. It was for a certain group of people who had a relationship with God under the law. It was on a list of things that had to do. Tithing was on a list of requirements that God had if you wanted to be his people. It wasn't one single thing, it was on a list. And you had to do all of them in order to qualify as his people. So now let's all agree that we are not under the law. We are now under grace, and we are givers. Because we have been born again, our new nature is to give, and we are now givers. We are no longer tithers. We are givers. And let's look at some of the conclusions and applications for our life. We can start with looking at the Bereans in Acts 17, 10 through 11. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Now, remember, the scriptures they were talking about there were the Old Testament. The Bereans in this reference were commended because they looked it up in the Torah for themselves. They overcame the fear of man and their own traditions, and when they recognized the truth, they were willing to let go of their old ideas and act on what they were convinced of. Why was Jesus angry with the Pharisees? Because they added to what God had told his people to do. They increased their burdens. Instead of lightening their load by making the ways of God past their understanding, making the way to God too difficult, and not even entering in themselves. In Jesus' day, most were convinced the way to God was unattainable. Why did they believe that? Because their leaders convinced them it was so. And we'll pick it up here next week. If you want to get in touch with me, drop me a line, give me some feedback or question. I can be reached at diane@therainersclub.org or through Blog Talk Radio. Until next week, this has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.